I would say look at your goals and pick the one most important goal. And people ask me all the time, Benson, why pick one? I said, because if you try to poop in two toilets, you're going to make a mess no matter how good you are. So focus on one and then determine the one most important activity that if you focus on that one activity, is going to make the biggest difference. Let me bring it down to some practicality. I think it doesn't matter what business you run. I have discovered that one of the most important activities anybody can be involved in business is to be generating leads for their business on an ongoing basis. So I would say with that, determine if you need to put in 60 minutes every day, Monday to Friday, or 90 minutes, Monday to Friday, depending on the needs of your business. And take that 60 minutes or 90 minutes and put it on your calendar and say, okay, from every day, Monday to Friday, from 10 to 11 or 11 to 12 or 9 to 10, whatever time is suitable for you. And block that time for your lead generation. And every day, Monday to Friday or Saturday, if you work on Saturday, let that 1 hour or 90 minutes become so focused on just generating leads. And if anything distracts you from that 1 hour or 90 minutes and you find yourself doing something else, then you know that that's a big distraction. But if you focus 60 minutes or 90 minutes every single day just on lead generation, you will see an immediate uptick in your business.
This is the Play Your Position podcast, where we huddle up, call the plays, and inspire you to run your ball into the end zone. Are you ready to score more game-winning touchdowns in your life, business, and career? Then listen up, because it's game time, baby. Now, here's your host, Mary Lou Kayser.
Hello, hello, Team PYP. Mary Lou Kayser here. Welcome to another episode of the Play Your Position podcast, where we talk all things leadership, especially what happens when you decide to answer the call to leadership. And we do it in a way that's a lot of fun. We talk about American football, but not in a lot of detail. It's really about the journey that each guest goes on as they become better and better leaders. And today is no exception. I've got an amazing guest joining us. His name is Benson Abertogo. He's coming to us all the way from Dallas, Texas. Benson, are you ready for kickoff?
Oh, yes. I'm so ready. Like my son used to say, I was born ready.
I love the enthusiasm. It's amazing. So team, here's some things I know about Benson. He is the creator of the Consistent Profitree System, which helps business owners and entrepreneurs in the construction and service industries generate more profit while working fewer hours. While living in his native African homeland at age 13, Benson discovered the immense love of a wealthy God and embarked on a quest to eradicate poverty. He is still on that quest today. He became a missionary pastor. He went on to come to the United States. He got his BS in business management and an MBA following that. And since then, Benson has served business owners, consulting. He's written 4 books, including The Business System That Never Fails, which he's going to talk about today. And like I said, he's living in Dallas, Texas right now. He's got a lot of energy and a lot of excitement. And Benson, I'm just so grateful that you're here today to share your journey with us.
Thank you so much, Mary Lou. You are an amazing person. And I thank you for the opportunity to be able to share what I've learned in my leadership journey with your amazing audience.
Yes. Well, my first question has to do with that leadership journey, specifically, when did you get the call to leadership, Benson? Was it a moment when you just knew, or was it more gradual?
It was more gradual, but there was a pivotal moment when I knew without any shadow of doubt that I had to step up and lead. And this is when I was in high school. And our high school is back in Cameroon, where I was born. You have what we call the boarding school system. So you don't stay home, but you stay in the dormitory and you go to school. And I went to one of the best schools in Cameroon. As a matter of fact, the prime minister's son was my classmate. And at the end of the year, leading to the final year, there is a student government that is supposed to run the school. And everybody knew that the prime minister's son was going to become the next president of the school to run the school for that year. But for whatever reason, the staff, the principal, they decided to turn down his application and they picked me to lead the school.
Wow.
And when they came and told me about it, I had goosebumps on my body. And I was just like, my father is not that popular. I mean, I don't come from a very wealthy family. Why would they pick me? But they gave me 3 days to think about it. And I could turn it down or I could step up and lead the school. And after thinking about it and praying about it, I say, you know what? I want to make a big difference. So I'm going to step up. So I stepped up and accepted the position. And I ran a campaign with another gentleman for the position. And I was able to win the presidential election. And for the next 1 year, I really made a big mark in the school as a leader. So I would say that was one of the defining moments of me stepping into the leadership role.
Wow, that's an amazing story. How old were you, Benson? Were you 16, 17?
So at this time, I was 13 plus 4. So I was around 17, going to 18.
Okay. And what mark did you, can you share a specific thing that you were part of changing about the school?
Absolutely. The crime rate. When I say crime rate, I'm not referring to like violent crime, but I'm referring to students being punctual and behaving well in the school. There was a dramatic, I would say, 360-degree turnaround. And I didn't use a lot of force compared to previous presidents. And the principal was so relaxed. He didn't have a lot of work to do because the school was really under control. And at one point, I was so amazed why all the students were so obedient. And I asked one student, I said, how come you guys are so obedient? Everything I say when I give a speech, everybody falls in line. And the student said to me, "Say, are you not aware?" I said, "Aware of what?" He said, "Are you not aware that you have some strange powers? When you are talking, everybody's held spellbound. And we are just so afraid not to do anything that is wrong." So that was the general atmosphere in the school. And during our graduation, my principal called me and he said, "Man, I've been a principal for over 15 years in different schools. I've never seen a government like this before."
Wow. Benson, that's really powerful. And so you had that experience. How did that shape your decision to pursue the path that you've been on since? I mean, you became a missionary pastor and you've been very deliberate and focused on helping people to rise out of poverty. I mean, I know that's very close to your heart. And, you know, here you are all these years later, you're living in America. You've been, you've created this business. What do you see the connections between the 17-year-old Benson and the man you are today as far as your leadership journey?
Yeah, that is a very brilliant question. So from that experience, I just I just said to myself, you know what? I can do a lot more than I've imagined. Because I couldn't imagine a little 17-year-old boy, you know, leading one of the best schools in the nation. So with that experience, I really believe that if people encountered God and they had a good relationship with him, they could do anything they could in their lives. So that was part of the passion that drove me to, you know what, let me become a pastor, let me become a missionary and lead people to have a relationship with God so it can really begin to alleviate the poverty and show people that they can do far more than they think they can do. So that really influenced me in that direction. But after being a pastor for several years, Mary Lou, I was so disappointed. And my disappointment came from the fact that I saw many people going to church, but they were still struggling economically. And that broke my heart. And I said, God, how can a rich God, from what I read in the Bible, have poor kids? Why are your children suffering all the time financially? And then I heard this small voice in me that said, you really want to solve this problem? I said, yes. He said, well, then go back to school and study business. Now, to give you a little bit of context, when you hear business in Africa, you think of corruption. So when I heard that small voice inside of me, I was like, get ye behind me, Satan. What does a pastor have to do with business? I'm not a corrupt guy. The voice persisted. And that's when I said, God, if it is you speaking, I want to go and study this business in America. Mind you, at that time, I didn't have a bank account. So I didn't even know how it was going to happen, but I was so determined to go to travel to the best country that I knew of, which is America, and study business. So fast forward, you know, things happened step by step with some challenges along the way. And I ended up here in September of 2003, went to the King's College, New York. And with my experience at the age 17 and some of the things I experienced as a missionary pastor, I just knew that anyone who sets their mind on doing what they really know they have to do to make a difference in other people's lives, you know, there's no limit. So that has kept on really being a motivation that pushes me. And after graduation and starting a business with one of my professors, to the time when I stepped out from that business and started the one I'm running right now, everything has really been like a thread from that 17-year-old experience to the Benson of today.
What strikes me about what you just shared is there are a couple of things. One is that you had a big vision, which every leader who succeeds has to have. You realize that there was more that you could do. And the experience in your high school certainly fueled that for you. And one of the things, too, that you bring up is, and I know I was reading your book, The Business System That Never Fails, and you talk very specifically and at length about the spirituality of business and leadership and how, especially in America, those, you know, spiritual leadership is not exactly something we talk about all the time. For, you know, to be honest, it makes some people uncomfortable. And the other concept or topic that you bring up quite frequently in your book is love. And that love is the ultimate emotion. Mm-hmm. It is the thing that will allow any of us to achieve our visions. And I would love for you to talk about your book, The Business System That Never Fails. Give listeners that, you know, 30,000 foot view of what is it about and why might they want to read it?
Absolutely. Mary Lou, you are somebody, I mean, I listened to some episodes of your podcast, and you talk about purpose a lot.
Yes.
And how it connects, you know, to leadership. And I sincerely believe that it doesn't matter the religion or the background or where somebody's coming from. I sincerely believe that all of us were born to love. And so any leader who is not leading from a place of love is not going to be fulfilled and is not going to be effective. And that is why when I discovered that love is the ultimate, I decided to focus on it when I wrote, you know, this book. And in the business system that never fails, I talk about three major pillars. The first pillar is, you know, love God. Because I believe that God gives all of us the leverage that on our own we will not be able to have. So we are really going after something that is bigger than us. And then in the second pillar, I talk about love yourself. And that's something I found many leaders and many professionals fail to do. They don't invest enough time to really take care of themselves. And as a result, they are ineffective in their leadership. And year after year, they don't see as much improvement as they should because there isn't an intentionality to really develop themselves to the next level. At the end of every year, I joke with people. I know I say it in a joking way, but I really mean it. I would say, well, like last year, I said, you better hire Benson 2021 right now, because Benson 2022 is going to be a lot more expensive.
I like that.
And they'll say, what do you mean? I said, do you have a car? They say, yes. What car is it? It's a Camry. I said, do you know that 2022 Toyota Camry is going to be more expensive than 2021 Toyota Camry? They say, yeah. So yeah, because there are some improvements that have been made on that car. I said, next year, Benson 2022 is going to be.
I love that. I'm stealing that from you, Benson. That's awesome.
Absolutely. And then the third pillar is love your customers. And when I talk about love your customers, I'm really referring to, I know there are people listening who are in a 9-to-5 job, which there's nothing wrong with that. So in that case, your customer would be your boss or the colleagues that you work with. Those are the people that you really want to love. So I really believe that if our leadership and everything we do is motivated by love, then fear is going to disappear. Because love casts out fear, just like light causes darkness to disappear.
It does. It absolutely does. You know, even those of us who choose this path, the leadership path, leading with love and so forth, it's not always easy, and not everything goes the way we think it is going to go, or, you know, we get blindsided by, oh, I don't know, a pandemic. You know, how do you overcome the challenges that come your way, Benson? I mean, maybe there's a story of a time when you know, I use the metaphor of the football game. You fumbled the ball. Mm-hmm. You were sacked. You threw the game losing interception. Do you have a story about a time when things just did not go according to plan for you? How did you recover from that?
Absolutely. Mary, when I stepped out in 2009 to start the consulting company I'm running right now, it was very, very difficult for me to do that because my wife was pregnant with our first daughter and she was 9 months, you know, pregnant. And here am I taking this bold move to leave a secured job to start a new company. It was challenging, but I knew that that was the right thing I really needed to do at that time to secure a better future for the family. But I also thought if I just leave my former company and start a new business, Customers will be running from the north, east, south, and west and saying, hey, Vincent, we hear that you started a business. Here we are. No, that was not the case. So when I started and customers not come as I was expecting, it was very scary, Mary. And I saw my wife's stomach growing bigger and my bank account was growing smaller. So they were going in the opposite direction. And I was like, what did I just do? And there was fear going on. But deep within me, I knew I made the right decision. But I will never forget a day that everything changed. It turned around. I was going down the street and thinking about what I was going to do to take care of my family and take care of myself as my baby was on the way. And again, this small voice, and I've learned to really pay attention to my inner voice. I was having this conversation with that inner voice inside. I consider it the voice of God inside me. And that voice asked me, said, Benson, how long can you go without food? I said, about 21 days. He said, what about water? I said, maybe 21. He said, if you don't buy any clothes, how long can the clothes you currently have take care of you? I said, maybe 6 months or 1 year. He said, what about oxygen? I said, without oxygen, I'll be gone in 30 seconds or so. And the voice said, so oxygen is more important than food? I say, yes. More important than water? Yes. More important than clothing? I said, yes. And the voice responded. He said, Benson, if I have been faithful in providing oxygen for you 24/7 since you were born, what makes you think I will not be faithful in providing food, water, and shelter for you and your family? Mm. And then I just broke down and I started crying. I said, God, forgive me for doubting you. And he said to me, he said, Benson, you are going to go through challenges in your life. Those challenges are designed to make you grow. But no matter how tough the challenge is, if you can still breathe in and breathe out, that should remind you of my faithfulness. And from that day, Mary, I've gone through many other challenges, but every challenge I go through, I just go, the moment I do that, it reminds me of how faithful God is. And then I develop another perspective as a leader. And that perspective is, I really began to see challenges as tests or exams. And you know, Mary, when a test or exam is given to us by a teacher, the test is really designed for our promotion, not our demotion. So I really began to see challenges as tests. And whenever I'm facing any of them, I am excited, even though it's very challenging, because I know that if I recall the lessons I have learned, I can use those to apply during that testing period. And if I pass the test, I'm going to experience a promotion. And I also discovered that every test is really a series of questions. So I've also developed a habit of testing myself by asking myself questions. So now when the challenge comes, I try to reduce it to questions. And if I can answer them, it helps me to overcome or pass that test in addition to breathing in and out. And that has helped me to move from one level to another as I grow in my leadership.
That's phenomenal, Benson. I just, the way you describe the oxygen, also you brought up faith, stepping into something new that's frightening. But believe but you know, trust in the process, trust yourself, trust in your, in the higher power, the spirit, whatever. People believe different things, but my experience has been most people have some sort of sense that there's something bigger than all of us. And it's not important what the name of it is. It's what's important is what you just described of learning to listen and really hear that still small voice that rises up inside of us from time to time. And that was beautiful. Thank you for sharing that story.
It's halftime here at the Play Your Position podcast, and we've got ourselves a great game. While you're up grabbing another snack and topping off your favorite beverage, make sure to subscribe to the show so you never miss another play. PYP is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever great podcasts can be found. Now, let's get back to the game.
When you look around at what's happening in the world today, and I know you, again, you have your purpose, your passion around helping people lift themselves out of struggle, you know, out of poverty. When you look ahead to the next 3 to 5 years, what do you think will have the biggest impact on the way we show up to our work, to our families, to just living our lives? I know I'm asking you to look into a crystal ball, but I'd love to hear your prediction.
Absolutely. I believe that things are going to get a lot more difficult, and that is good news. Unfortunately, a lot of people don't maximize their crisis, because the reality is, as things get a lot more difficult, the analogy I use is, light shines brighter, the thicker darkness becomes. So the thicker the darkness, the brighter the light. So things are going to get difficult, but it's an opportunity for everyone to shine. So instead of people being afraid of the darkness, they should just get ready with their light.
What could people do? Like, what's an example of getting ready for your light?
So let's say you are a leader listening now, whether in business or whatever way you are leading. So if you have a set of goals, instead of allowing the difficult season to discourage you from pursuing those goals, you should still have those goals. You should still have your vision. But go for more knowledge, because knowledge is synonymous to light. And the more knowledge you get in that specific area where you want to grow, the more light you will have. Because man's number one enemy is ignorance.
Yes.
And so if I want to become a better business leader, in the coming years, I want to really get myself in developing my ability to lead better. So there are so many books out there on leadership for people to read. If I want to become a better parent, there are many books out there for people to read to become a better parent as the culture is changing and children are behaving differently from the way they used to behave in the 80s and in the 90s. So learning how to parent in the changing times, learning to lead as a business leader in the changing times, or learning to live in any area, we definitely have to become passionate to get more knowledge, because life is not static. So if anyone is not growing, they are dying. So my encouragement to everyone listening is, go for more knowledge in the area in which you really want to excel. And then as the difficulties are coming, now you have an opportunity to apply that new knowledge to overcome those challenges and in the process grow.
Very nice. I love that message and I support it 100%. You know, people who, if you're new to this podcast, you know, as a listener, if you go back and, you know, check out past episodes, you're going to hear echoes of what Benson just shared, which is seek knowledge in the areas that you want to grow in. It's also good sometimes to just get different perspectives on the same topic, because not everybody sees the same subject from the same lens. And what I love about being able to talk to people like you, Benson, is, you know, you grew up in a country that's different from mine. You know, you grew up in Cameroon. You experienced a much different culture, and even school was different for you. And yet you are at a point in your life where the universal threads of love and leadership and faith and staying the course, you know, creating a vision for yourself. It doesn't matter where we come from. We can all reach the, you know, a point where we say, yes, this is how I'm choosing to show up in the world. And I can always become more knowledgeable. I can always become better. So thank you for emphasizing the pursuit of more knowledge. It's important.
Absolutely. And I would say this knowledge is not just in books. It's also in people. So there are people listening to you right now, and they might have felt, you know what, I've been listening to Mary's podcast for all these months or years. There's something Mary can help me, you know, to do. And perhaps these people have been hesitant, waiting for quote unquote the right time. My encouragement would be for those people to step up and give you a call, or, you know, get one of your books and read. I read a book not too long ago, and I was fascinated by the title. The title is Dig Your World Before You Become Testy. So many people wait until they are so testy before they try to dig their well. I would say now is the right time to really reach out to, you know, get the books, which is more knowledge, but also get other people who can really help in that journey of transformation. And what I know about you, Mary, I know you are really, really passionate about helping people you care for in their projects so they can really move forward. And you talk about perspective. I believe that all of us can only become so good in one perspective, but we need one, two, or three other people to be able to see other perspectives that we are blind to.
Yes.
Which will bring us to that place.
Oh, 100%.
Where we are a lot more fulfilling. So I would say, you know, if you've been listening to this podcast for a long period of time and you've been having that itch, I really need to reach out to Mary. But I don't know if this is the right time. Let me give you the permission. This is the right time. You know?
Oh, thank you, Benson.
Don't wait anymore.
Oh my gosh! But you know what? You're spot on. You know, there's that Chinese proverb is the best time to plant a tree, you know, was 20 years ago, and also right now. I mean, it's never too late. It's never too late. And transformation is definitely a team sport, just like American football, or what most of the world calls, what we here in America call soccer, what most of the world calls football, any team sport. Yes. You're not just a solo person out there. We need other people. And there's, in American football, there's no better example of that than when the team scores the game-winning touchdown. So we're at the part of the show, Benson, that I call touchdown, and I'm going to put you in the red zone. Mm-hmm. And there are less than 30 seconds left on the clock. Your team is down by 4 points. So it's now or never. Tell us a story. Again, we're talking metaphorically here, but tell us a story about a time when you got that ball into the end zone for the game-winning touchdown.
So we have 40 seconds. Is that what I have left?
You have 30 seconds.
30 seconds, and I have to turn this around. I would say it is my discovery of the universal principles that anybody can use, because I was really frustrated when I discovered that over 85% of businesses that start in America fail within the first 15 years. Mm-hmm. And I kept saying, with all the technology in America, why are so many businesses still failing? And then I went into saying, you know what? I am not going to fail, and I'm not going to allow any other business that I have the opportunity to talk to fail. So what is the secret behind, I would say, bulletproofing, you know, the business? And I discovered that there are universal principles, and the one that has really turned our business around during those 30 seconds that we say, hey, if nothing is done, things are going to be bad, is really the universal principle of what, you know, some people call cause and effect.
Yes.
Or sowing and reaping. And I'll say this, there was a time in our business that we were not seeing business coming in regularly. And unfortunately, I used to wait until the end of the month, and I will be so passionate to go get more business. And then business will come in towards the end of the month. And then at the beginning of the month, I will go back to my slumber and relax. But I discovered that every good farmer is supposed to use that principle on an ongoing basis. And that changed everything after struggling for several months. And now, on a consistent basis, I am sowing, and the harvest is also happening simultaneously. Mm-hmm. So anybody listening to me should really get into the habit of sowing and reaping on an ongoing basis instead of taking a vacation when things are good.
Mm, wonderful. Yes, universal principles are just, they're so powerful. And when you commit to studying them and really applying them to your life, amazing things can happen, as you so clearly have shared with us today. And as we get towards the end here of this amazing conversation, Benson, what are 1 to 3 key offensive strategies that you could share with listeners to kind of wrap things up today that they could use right away to, you know, see some forward progress in their lives?
I would say look at your goals and pick the one most important goal. And people ask me all the time, Benson, why pick one? I said, because if you try to poop in 2 toilets, you're going to make a mess, no matter how good you are. So focus on one, and then determine the one most important activity that, if you focus on that one activity, is going to make the biggest difference. Let me bring it down to some practicality. I think it doesn't matter what business you run. I have discovered that one of the most important activities anybody can be involved in business is to be generating leads for their business on an ongoing basis. So I would say with that, determine if you need to put in 60 minutes every day, Monday to Friday, or 90 minutes Monday to Friday, depending on the needs of your business. And take that 60 minutes or 90 minutes and put it on your calendar and say, okay, from every day, Monday to Friday, from 10 to 11 or 11 to 12 or 9 to 10, whatever time is suitable for you. And block that time for your lead generation. And every day, Monday to Friday or Saturday, if you work on Saturday, let that 1 hour or 90 minutes become so focused on just generating leads. And if anything distracts you from that 1 hour or 90 minutes and you find yourself doing something else, then you know that that's a big distraction. But if you focus 60 minutes or 90 minutes every single day just on lead generation, you will see an immediate uptick in your business.
Mm. Well, that's a great tip. I love that. Great reminder for anybody out listening today that if you have a business or you may work for a company that needs leads, it's worth putting in the time. Now, I know, Benson, you have a generous offer for listeners, Team PYP. Where do you hang out online and how can they get a copy of your book?
Awesome. I hang out a lot online, mostly on LinkedIn, because that's where the people that I'm serving right now congregate a lot. You know, once in a while, I go to Facebook and look at what they are doing there. At one point, one of my friends said, you know, I don't see you that regularly on Facebook. I said, I'm Facebook every single day for hours. I said, but I don't see you. I say, you are looking at a different Facebook than the one I have. He said, what Facebook do you go to? I said, the books I read. So I opened my book. That's my
Oh, that's a good one too.
All right. I wanted the audience to obviously laugh. So LinkedIn is a place that I am. I'm on Facebook, you know, as well, but I am very active on LinkedIn. Every day, at least Monday to Friday, I do post there so you can find me there. And the free offer that I have, or I call it complimentary, is a copy of The Business System That Never Fails. And you can go to neverfailsystem.com, never, N-E-V-E-R-F-A-I-L, system.com/PYP. That is where you can download an electronic version of my book, The Business System That Never Fails, so that it can really transform your life and your business.
Yes, and team, I have read this book. I recommend it. You can go directly to that link. You can also find the link to connect with Benson, grab the digital copy of his book at pyppodcast.com on his show notes page. And you've been talking quite a bit today, Benson, about reading and the importance of books. So before we say goodbye, would you be willing to share with us a favorite book that has impacted your leadership journey that could benefit listeners as well?
Absolutely. The book that has made a lot of impact in my leadership, but also in business, is a tiny book that's been around for so many years. It's written by a guy called Ock Mandino. He died several years ago. And the title of the book is The Greatest Salesman in the World. So the book has 10 major principles that are really universal and they have been timeless. So anybody can grab it. And I think they are even free versions. If you Google the book, The Greatest Salesman, there are like free PDF versions out there. But you can get it on Audible, you can get it on Amazon. But it has really, really transformed my life and my ability to lead, you know, fearlessly. So it's a book I highly recommend. It's about, you know, maybe 10 bucks or 8 bucks, depending on where you're buying it.
Yes, great, great addition to anybody's library who's serious about leadership, about growing a business, about growing a life. So wonderful recommendation. And I'll put a link to that book as well on your show notes page, Benson. And I just want to say thank you for being a phenomenal guest today, for making us laugh, for your commitment to the leadership journey and, you know, improving the lives of everybody that you come into contact with, including my own.
Absolutely, Mary. I want to thank you so much for giving me this opportunity to be able to serve you, serve your audience. And I want to believe that everyone who is listening to us, if they would just apply one thing that they got out of our conversation, it will make a big difference. And I want to end again by saying, anyone who has been thinking to reach out to Mary and has been saying, I don't know if this is the right time, I want to repeat, this is the right time. Get to that email, get to that phone and reach out, because I really believe that you're a leader that will make a difference in anybody's life who decides to connect with the unique abilities that you already have.
Hey team, Mary Lou here. Who's number one in football changes from year to year. Fashion trends come and go, same with musical tastes, but leadership skills, they never go out of style. In fact, these days, leadership is an essential survival skill for a world that demands more from us than ever before.
To succeed these days, you need to know how to show up for yourself so that you can then do the work you love with people you like the way you want. The Play Your Position Leadership Playbook helps you do this, and it's free. Go to pyppodcast.com to download your copy today. If being more successful this year, next year, in the 21st century is on your to-do list, get your copy of the Play Your Position Leadership Playbook now. PYPpodcast.com. It's at the top of the page. You can't miss it. That's PYPpodcast.com, and start being more of the leader you are meant to be today. This podcast was produced by Daniel Romeros. Show notes for this episode can be found over at PYPpodcast.com. I'm Mary Lou Kayser. Thanks for listening.
Here at the Play Your Position podcast, we believe that the road to self-mastery and a life well lived starts with answering the call to leadership. That's when the fun really begins. Send this episode to any friends who might need to hear the inspiration and ideas you heard today. And feel free to rate and review us on your favorite podcast platform.